And welcome to AFL Tonight, a momentous return. I don't know if we'd actually say it was momentous. I mean, holy crap, I've been off the air, I think, since Arena Bowl, when we had an AFL.
When was that? I can't even remember that far back.
Oh my god, I'm hearing voices. Who is that? No, you're not losing your mind, people. This is actually my newest co-host. Something I've actually not done. This is technically my 10th or 11th season doing podcasts here at Arena Fan. And I decided to go back to having a co-host. There's more interaction that way, whether we're going to be live or whether we're going to be doing it taping, regular podcasting. I brought in a very well-known name on the Arena Fan boards, JP Worley. Nice to have you.
Well, thank you for having me this season. People probably like, who's JP Worley? I also go by Sidelines, and everybody's gonna be like, oh, that's...
I could say, oh crap, not him.
Probably got his rider truck sign next to him.
Depends on which team you have, right?
Yeah. Which team's on the other side of that sign.
And originally it was the Grand Rapids. Great segue, actually. Today, I don't know if you'd seen it or not, JP.
Oh, I've already been there, and it's already flying. The sign is up.
I will give, you know, we're talking about the old AFL and stuff like that. You know, obviously we're talking about the Grand Rapids Rampage. Finally, the DeVos family has finally thrown in the towel, so to speak, I guess we could say.
They succumbed to my whims.
Yes. It was subliminal.
We actually sat down yesterday and had lunch, and I told him just straight up, you know, you got to pull the plug.
I'll hand it to the DeVos family, though. We've had some shyster owners in the AFL, in the previous AFL. I will admit I do not know much about the owners of the old AF2, but
we do have shyster owners.
Yeah,
you make it sound like the new league got rid of them all.
It's, you know, I guess they're just shyster owners 2.0.
Okay, we'll go with that. I'm not that 2.0 thing. Just AFL 2.0.
Yeah.
Confuse the hell out of the people who really don't know what's going on.
Well, and we'll bring up everybody up to speed real quickly here in a couple of minutes, but I'll give it to the DeVos family. I don't know how you felt about them. I felt the DeVos family was probably one of the better owners within the league next to this is how bad my memory is now with the old AFL. Who used to own I can't believe I'm forgetting this. Who used to own the Albany Firebirds and the Indiana Firebirds?
Oh. Wow. What a memorable owner.
He was a good owner, though, for him to keep.
Yeah. No, he was a great owner. Yeah. The DeVos, yeah, he was a great owner, too. The thing is, when you're in a town where you don't have to share the expendable income of sporting fans, as much as you do in a bigger market, you're going to do better, and you'll probably become a better owner because of it.
And hence, I think that's, you know, that's why they did.
Yeah.
Not necessarily well team-wise. Well,
they weren't packing in 20,000 fans into that place because, one, it wouldn't hold that many, and two, I don't think there's that many people in the town to begin with. But yeah, he did a great job. DeVos did a great job in Grand Rapids. I went to Arena Bowl 15, and they did a great job. Their fan base was amazing up there. I also was there for a few games, regular season games, and their fan base was amazing. So yeah, they definitely had a good ownership group going there. And I mean, it is kind of sad that they picked the other side, and the other side lost. But hey, that's how business works.
It's true. You know, so many of the different owners wanted to, if they were going to win the auction or not, or, and they just came out on the other side. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think any of the owners will actually resurface in any sort of way? I mean, who's to say that Jerry Jones is going to get together with Bon Jovi and is going to get together with the DeVos family and is going to get together with Casey Wasserman, you know, just to throw out names here, and form their own.
I'm thinking that's going to be a pretty big pipe dream. There is a blacklist of owners that I have heard that there are some owners that are on a quote unquote blacklist that are not allowed in the new Arena Football League. So you won't see some of these owners coming back because, not because they don't want to, but because they're not allowed to. I have heard that LA is supposed to be coming back. I don't know if Wasserman is involved in that group or not. The group in Pittsburgh is supposed to be the same group that was with the old one.
Lynn Swan is somehow involved, and I'm not surprised there. They're going to be opening up their new arena next year, and they need some tenants. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah. Which should make for a really good. I'm hoping a good rivalry with Cleveland. You know,
yep.
Two huge football towns that, I mean, these people really hate each other just because of football. And then you're going to throw arena football in the mix too, should kind of stir the pot in the off season for the NFL. Ownership group in Philadelphia, obviously is not going to be JBJ. And, what was the fourth team they were talking about?
I've heard certain.
I'm on the internet right now, and I can't even look it up. I'm that lazy.
I've heard certain things about Dallas. I'm not sure what's going to happen with JJ.
He still owns the merchandising rights to the Desperados.
That's right.
Hence,
that's why the vigilantes were born as is, and I think I'm still going to call them the vigilados because you know what, with all the players that are on there, suppose they're gonna buy a championship, but whatever.
Well, we know how much that costs.
Yes.
I think Bon Jovi listed, what was it, $267,000 on the AFL bankruptcy listing?
Something to that effect.
Wow. If I had $267,000, I would have bought an Arena Bowl too.
Or one of those lovely, lovely replica Arena Bowl championship trophies that are on eBay.
Oh, wow. I have to admit, I really do want one of those. I mean, yeah, they're 18 inches tall, but hey, pretty sweet. Because the one I have is only 9.5.
I've seen those. Those are the ones from the Chicago Rush.
Chicago, yeah. I don't even know the origin of the 9.5-inch one. The smaller one that I have, there's four sizes. There's actual size, player / team size, which is the 18-inch one. The actual size is 28 inches. And then there's the 9.5, and then there's one that's smaller than that. I don't know off the top of my head how tall that one is. About the size of a soda can, maybe a little bigger. Those were given away at the first game or second game of the following season after they won to everybody.
Exactly.
Which is kind of a nice giveaway, I think. San Jose has one too. I've seen floating around on eBay. I don't know the full story behind theirs. I'm assuming that it was a mass giveaway as well. But neat collector's item, nonetheless.
Yeah, I know there are a couple on there. It's just for me. I'd like to get one too. I know the big ones, by the way. Supposedly the league got wind of them, and I don't know if they happen to do a C&D for them. But I know they caught wind of them.
Always got to ruin the good stuff.
Yeah. Quickly, I'm sure most of you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're over at Arena Fan. You guys at Arena Fan Nation basically know exactly what we're about to say, but, you know, cut us a little bit of slack. We just want to bring everybody up to speed. Basically, AF1 came into existence. I think everybody was not a big fan of the, some would say phallic logo. Some say it looked like a knife. Some say it was a finger to the old owners of the AFL, the old owners. But the AF1 was what it was, and it was just a stopgap measure before, you know, the proceedings for the bankruptcy.
And I think it was a funny ribbing, you know, kind of a play on words of sorts. You know, the whole AF2. You know, now we're the true AF1.
Right.
I think it was all in good fun, I guess. The logo, yeah. Hey, come on. They knew they were going to buy the rights to the AFL, so they kind of threw together, you know, a $4 logo. I would have charged them $5.50. But,
but you know what? You never know.
A logo, nonetheless. It's better than the Vigilantes logo.
Yeah. I remember the whole uproar of Vigilantes. Everybody thought, you know, it is true. It is a rip of the Guns N' Roses album, but because it was done by the same graphic designer.
Yeah, he owns the likeness rights.
You know.
I don't know. I still like the old NIFL logos that were the word art from Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Cleveland Steamers logo that I designed is classic.
Yeah. Well, it's the days, you know, the days of, it's funny, you talk about days of leagues that thought that they were actually better than what they actually were. It sounds a lot like what everybody's saying about the indoor football league, but we're not here to talk about the IFL. I mean, we could talk about the teams that left. Remember, because the AF1 was supposed to be a two-tier league originally. We had a couple teams drop out, a few teams defect, and a lot of people said because of the way that the structure was for the monies within the league. I mean, I knew
the two-tier league wasn't going to work from the get-go. It was just too much too soon. That's something you work toward, you know. I mean, it took Arena Football League how many years before they came up with their second tier?
Well, it started in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the original league started in 87, so.
Yeah.
Do the math.
But the thing is also, everybody, you can look at the AF2 as being almost not a completely mirror image, but it's very, very similar to the way that the structure was of the old AFL. Yeah. As is the current
one.
AFL.
Correct. And it works. You know. You pay the guys peanuts. Treat them like indentured servants. And somehow, wow, the owners make money. Which is the, you know, underlying plan of the whole thing anyway. As much as I would love for them to go back to the whole tax write-off deal that all these teams used to do, I do like the new setup. It does need tweaking though, but I do like the idea. It makes sense. In a money standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, I agree with you, actually. It is going to take a little bit of tweaking.
Yeah. The $400, $1,000 a game, that's retarded. I'm sorry, but that's just, you know, it's not going to work. And I don't think it works. You know, I've discussed this with other people. I've discussed it with you. And kind of want to say it on the air that I think the whole cap thing is a bunch of hooey. We've seen these players sign. We've seen who has signed. We've seen one team sign, you know, pretty much every superstar they can get their hands on. There's no way they're paying those guys $400 a week. And then people will argue, oh, they're giving them an off-season job. So what? How much are they going to pay them on an off-season job, too? You know?
Well, that's what I was thinking also. I mean, supposedly one or two. What's the cap supposed to be? Not the monetary cap, but what is it supposed to be when it comes to franchise players? It's supposed to be one or
three.
Three. Okay, three per team. So there's $3,000 times that by 16 games. I think the way they have set it up is probably very similar to how before the cap existed in the Canadian Football League. You would be able to pay a player an X amount. Now, we don't – think about it, actually. This franchise tag
– Infinity money, right?
Yeah, they would pay them
– like red money and blue.
Oh, yeah. Or Canadian Tire money.
Is that before the coins came out? Is that when they actually had paper money up there in Canada?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not much you can really do. You know, you live in igloos 24/7. You got the dogs outside. You've got to use something for them to sleep on. So, you know. But I think it's not necessarily pay to play. It's pay for pay, but that didn't make any sense. A job underneath, pay to show up at, you know, for sponsorship deals and blah 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting it up. Can't come out. But if the franchise tag works similarly the same way that it did in the old AFL, the way it currently does, I think, in the NFL, mm-hmm. It'll be half the cost. So, makes me wonder. You sign a franchise player, three franchise players. Okay, technically you're only spending, if it is the case, you're only spending $1,500 a week. Mm-hmm. But now that, you know, we're not going to know. All we can do is believe what Commissioner Kerr is letting us know.
Right. Which is, you know, the old AFL's MO. You weren't allowed to know how much the players were making. You weren't under penalty of law allowed to have an AFL rule book. I know this firsthand.
Yeah, as do I. That was a gripe from many of the other fans.
Although
also,
I still have three or four different years of AFL rulebooks. If anybody wants one, you can contact me on AFL the Arena Fan message boards. Because I guess under penalty of law doesn't count anymore when the league doesn't even exist.
In its current form.
Unless the current league comes after me.
I have a feeling.
I would think it would be hilarious, to tell you the truth. Because I haven't met their lawyers yet.
I have a feeling, though, that with the way that, I mean, the league, it's funny, in just a few years, the league, stuff has changed so much. Social networking is a huge part of how people, you know, communicate, promote, etc. I would not be surprised with AFL, with their very, very decent website, by the way. It's a hell of a lot better than what the old one was.
Oh, yeah.
That they offer a lot more stuff openly. You know, there are a lot of leagues that just give it out. I mean, CFL. CFL is one of them. They sell them and they give them out for free. So I think it's going to change. I think it's going to change. I would not be surprised if we see Commissioner Kurz on Twitter.
That'd be cool. A little unorthodox in the sporting world, but cool nonetheless, I guess.
It works for the CFL commission. It works for the NFL commissioner, UFL commissioner.
If we want to talk CFL real quick, I loved with the rules committee thing. I love that.
Thank you. Yes, I was about just – actually, it's funny you mentioned it. I was just about to bring it up. What better way to be fan-friendly? Now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about and may have not seen the thread on the message boards, the CFL for the past 2 years has actually asked for the fans' input on specific rules to give their input on how they would change rules. Last year it had to do more or less with what to do after safeties, where the ball should be placed. This year it had to do with the overtime rules.
Oh, you mean they don't hogtie the guy that committed or that gave up the safety, and then he has to sit in like a penalty box for 2 minutes?
No. That's hockey.
Oh, that hockey?
Yeah, that's hockey. Penalty box is penalty box is hockey, lacrosse, and the roller derby league.
Oh, okay. You got that up in Canada too?
I have no clue. I just happened to see something, I think, on YouTube, and I remember watching it on TV as a kid. Like, that's so cool. I'm thinking.
Oh, no, I thought the CFL had all these off the wall rules. I mean, they still have the very dangerous goalposts in the front of the end zone. I love that.
That's old school football.
That's a blooper reel just waiting to happen.
It doesn't happen all that often. You'd be surprised. But
well, yeah, they probably don't run guys over the middle in the front of the end zone.
Yeah. Also, a lot of the rules that came, some of the rules from the CFL have migrated into the AFL now. You know, like the motion, motion at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
But I think yes, that if Commissioner Kurz would be listening to this podcast, first of all, hi, I'm Tim. That's JP on the other side.
And let me say right away, I am sorry.
It's good to get that out now. Are you going to
be let's get this out now so I probably don't have to meet their set of lawyers, you know?
Are you going to be apologizing every podcast?
Probably.
If it's necessary, if it's needed.
Yeah. Whether it be before I actually say something or after, yeah.
Probably. Nice. I'm covering before and after.
Yeah, I'm covering before right now here.
That's right. The Commissioner Kurz, I think, needs to take it upon himself and along their committee to do something like this. I'm curious to know, okay, real quickly, because I know there's some other stuff, a lot of stuff we want to talk about on the podcast this week, because yes, it's less than 30 days to the beginning of the season, but still a lot to talk about. What one rule, if you could pick one, JP, would you change and how?
I would have them change.
Even if it's just a tweak, remember that, because remember, the CFL one's changes have just been little itty-bitty tweaks, but it's worked wonders.
Well, I don't want to waste it on Iron Man, because I know Iron Man rule is going to come back. You know, they're probably going to not have it this season and then bring it back next season when they tweak all the rules, when they have more time to work on everything. So I'm not going to waste it on that one, because we know that Iron Man is coming back.
Right.
I don't care what anybody else says. Iron Man is coming back in 2011. If I could change a rule, I would change. I'm not going to waste it on free substitution either.
You know, it's a tough. You got to admit, it's a tough.
It is tough because they have made changes that I wanted to see. And that I had voiced my opinion on, not saying I'm not taking any credit for the changes or anything like that, because they do have a rules committee that gets paid God knows how much back then, probably as much as the players did, to come up with rules. But one of my favorite rules that they did change was the rule of kicking over the net on a kickoff.
Nice, yes. Yeah, yep, because Clay Rush.
And what was LA's kicker? On purpose.
Oh,
and that's nuts. Yeah. You get these guys that were like one step away from the NFL that could, you know, kick the crap out of the ball, and then just say, hey, okay, they got a good, you know, OS, kick it over the net, and, you know, they'll take it on the 5. I think that was a good idea that they said, okay, no more kicking over the nets or around the nets. You gotta hit those nets or it comes out to this one. That was a good rule change. And I actually voiced my opinion about that to people within the league while I was working in the league. So not taking credit for it, but, you know, they were aware of it.
You know, it's funny. You know, some people might be listening to you for the first time, JP.
Uh-oh.
Let me think that you're a little condescending. That you know. You're not condescending, are you? No.
No.
You're the John Stewart of the AFL. A rule that I would change. You know, it's. I don't know what rule I would change.
It's a very good question. We should open this up to our listeners, all three of them, and ask them to write in what they would change.
Oh, cool. And
there are you guys right now. Come up with a rule change, because I mean, this is a really good question. Because I mean, a lot of rule changes that have already been, you know, have already been made.
That's true.
How do you make it better?
And there are multiple ways. If you want to go ahead and voice your opinions, we have a couple of ways that it can be done to voice what you would change. You can tweet us over,
All three of them out there.
All three. That's right. You, me, and Joe. You can tweet us over.
I think Tommy's listening. Tommy's probably listening.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's true. Twitter.com/arenafan. We also have a Facebook page, a fan page over at facebook.com/arenafan. And if you want to happen to send it to me directly, you can do so by emailing me at tim.capper@arenafan.com, and we will get your suggestions on our next podcast. So, what do you think if you had the choice, if the league opened this up to everybody, to all fans, and say, email us with your suggestion. If you can make one change, no matter how small, what would it be?
Except if it was a second high motion man.
Let's just leave it open to them, JB.
Fifth guy that can blitz.
It could be anything.
That's not allowed, no. Second high motion man, no. Let's see what else do people say. Second fullback, no. So we'll go through all the ones that we won't take. Like if you say that in your email, we'll just automatically delete it. We won't even do it.
It's a fake email. It's not real. Is that what they're saying?
No. I'm saying if they come up with a second high motion man, I'm actually telling them which ones are not allowed.
Oh, nice.
Second high motion man, no.
Hi, I'm your host.
Or no.
No, you cannot tell me what you can write.
Yeah. They dictate which ones you're allowed to and which ones you're not. So Mr. Kozar, when you write in to say that, you know, you don't want the high motion man, no, we're gonna delete it. I'm sorry.
Nice. We were talking.
I was at the Cleveland, the Gladiators, re-announcing themselves back into the new AFL.
Oh, fantastic. How was it?
I was there. I wanted to cry when Ferraro and Kozar both agreed that they should change it more to an NFL light type deal, NFL indoors. And so I asked Bernie, I was like, okay, Bernie.
Are you two on a first name basis?
He wants me to call him Bernie. I try to call him Mr. Kozar, and he will not let me call him Mr. Kozar. I told him it's out of respect. He is a Cleveland sports icon, living legend. You know, I got to call him Mr. Kozar. He won't let me call him Mr. Kozar. So, Bernie, I'll call you Bernie on the air here. When I asked him, okay, eight guys can rush the quarterback. If you were the quarterback in this league, would you have these rule changes? And he probably said no. He laughed and, you know, thought it was hilarious. And he's like, no, of course not. No, I wouldn't want any rule changes if he was the quarterback. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
But then again, he's never played a down. But, you know, I think the person that we should actually ask would be Mr. Kurt Warner.
Who I hope comes back to the Arena League. Coach, as an owner, something. I know the NFL is going to get him. I know he's going to probably start off as a quarterback's coach for some team, work his way up to offensive coordinator, and then become a head coach in the NFL one day, because he is a great football mind. But I really hope some AFL team can snag him first, you know, appeal to Bruce.
He could always go the route that Danny White did. Danny White was a huge name in the NFL prior, and then he came to the AFL.
That's true. But I mean, Kurt was here in the AFL first. You know, we had him first. You know, we have dibs on him.
Yeah.
We have first refusal. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Cause, that would be great. Oh, to see him back in Iowa. You know, I mean, that would be awesome.
Dude, if you have actually heard, I tell you, if this comes to fruition, I'm not going to mention anything cause it's not for sure, but, you know, we're talking about you've heard things, I've heard things when it came to specifics and names. I'm like, if this guy comes back into the league, it will be absolutely huge. And especially for the team that is rumored to be coming back to.
Oh, tell me it's Major Harris. Major Harris is coming back.
No, it's like it's like saying Michael Bishop's coming back to play for the Kansas City Brigade or the.
Yes.
No.
Don't get me excited like that.
No. You know what? I have to tell you, I think Bishop would rather play in the AFL because right now nobody else wants him, not even the CFL. He wore out his welcome in Toronto.
Oh, that sucks.
He's not a very good quarterback.
Toronto's your last, that's your last chance in the CFL, from what I've heard. Sometimes your only chance in the CFL.
Exactly. Well, you never, well, yeah. Names. I think we finished everything real quickly. So the AF1 after buying the whole thing with the, God, that's a hell of a long break in between what we're talking about. Either way, after they won a $6.1 million they spent on buying all the, old AFL boxes. They unpacked the logos and, told a few teams.
They got the trophy back. The Foster Cup.
That's right. Yeah, they got the trophy. They're going back to the balls this year, and AFL is reborn as it currently is, in its current incarnation, AFL 2.0. As
for for this season, because I have heard changes are coming in 2011, and that's all I can say. I'm not allowed to say anything else.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No. It's easier to stay the ship, the course, you know. But I've heard changes. Changes are coming. Yeah. I was hoping these changes were coming this season, but they didn't leave themselves enough time to do the changes that I think that they wanted, unfortunately. But, hey, we should still have a good season.
Exactly. And Commissioner Kirsch, from what we've seen, what he wants to do in the future, at least what he's mentioned, seems to be on the ball. I mentioned this to you before, that if I were to rate the two commissioners between David Baker and Commissioner Kurz, I would probably take Commissioner Kurz at the moment. And the only reason why is because Kurz is originally an AFL guy.
Oh yeah.
Baker
was a purist.
Baker was brought in to be a, you can't call him a mouthpiece because he's so large. I mean, he's a very nice man. I think you had met him too, but I met him also.
Oh yeah.
He was a figurehead.
He was a guy that even if you didn't know what arena football was, you knew him. Like ESPN would have him on all the time and people would be scratching their heads going, why do I know this guy? And then they'd be like, oh yeah, he's commissioner of arena football, his son plays, you know, college football, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh, okay. That's why I know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't sit there and go, oh, arena football, yeah, Commissioner Baker, he's gigantic, huge. Like, you know, you say arena football and they'd be like, oh, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
That's okay. Hey, off on a tangent. It's only the first show of the year. Why not?
I did love what he did. You know, you can't make him out to be this evil villain who took the league and tied it up and threw it on train tracks for the train to run it over.
I think he, no, because I think he
knew. That's what he did.
He knew.
But I don't think he intended to do that.
He knew when to get off.
Oh, hell yeah, he knew when to get off. 2 days before the Arena Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best time to do it.
One thing that came out, and it's not necessarily a mirror image of what, you know, David Baker did and what Commissioner Kurz have done. The AFL has another TV contract. And,
yay,
you know, it was a toss-up between, supposedly it was between Versus and the NFL Network.
Oh, come on. It was never with Versus. Come on.
You're okay. You're right. You can't believe everything you read on the internets.
They try to make it look like these eight networks were vying for the Arena Football League. Get out of here. Come on. This is a league that used to pay ABC to put our championship game on TV. Paid ABC. I mean, come on. But I'm really glad we're on the NFL Network. That shows that
it's a consistent night. It's going to be a consistent time, except for all of 1 week, which today there was a minor change to the schedule. Iowa is now going to be playing at home versus Oklahoma City in week three. I think, is it week three or the draft weekend?
Again, we're on the internet and we can look this up very easily.
Yeah, I know. I'm
so sad.
I know. Some people, I think it was a hell of a coup for the league. Maybe it was based on names that they currently had within their the AFL stable.
I wouldn't look into it too hard because you got to remember this network is a separate entity of the NFL league itself. Kind of like the closest thing I can equate it to is the Yes Network and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're owned by the Yankees, but they're their own deal. They also broadcast the New Jersey Nets basketball games. I have no idea why they do. I don't think anybody shows up to those games unless LeBron or Kobe's in town. But yeah, basically, you know, so don't look into it too far because everybody's like, oh, NFL Network. Wow, the NFL is gonna, you know, finally buy that 49.9% stake in the league.
Oh, no. That's not what I was getting at. I was actually getting I was actually getting at who is within the AFL stable, who they have, who may have had contacts within, not necessarily the NFL network itself, but saying, okay, this is the package we have to bring forward to you. Now, the question is, was it the AFL came calling, or is it the NFL network came a calling?
I'm thinking the AFL came a calling, and it only made sense for the NFL Network to do it because, I mean, they're all football. You know, they're looking to fill time spots. In a network that already has, you know, the NFL season, you know, locked up with their fan base, huge fan base watching. And it only made sense to grab onto the Arena League as, you know, most of those players either used to play in the NFL or are on their way up to play in the NFL. You know, kind of a NFL Europa type deal.
Yeah.
And probably just stick at the ESPN, you know.
Depends on where if the championship game stays on, it depends on where they want to put the championship game. And most likely it will stay on the NFL network. They won't have to worry about, any more buy-in time. You know, obviously ESPN was affiliated with ABC and Disney. So that was, you know, they won't get the same, hey, if they can get the same ratings, which I don't think they will because of all the issues with the NFL network and the different, cable and satellite providers. I think if they can get,
I didn't want to go there with that because I knew that was the only drawback for getting the NFL Network is that there are some cheap cable companies out there that won't pony up and give their customers the networks that they deserve, especially with some of these prices that they're charging their customers. Good Lord.
No, I know.
Wow. That's why I have satellite and I don't have to worry about anything.
They can still get you too. I know it was Cablevision that recently did the thing for the, was it Cablevision in the Oscars?
I don't know. I don't watch the Oscars.
Okay. It's the whole same thing, you know, with the same fight that NFL Network was having, I think. Who were they having a fight with? It was either DirecTV or somebody. I don't remember who it was, but, either way, The TV deal was a huge coup for the first season. They needed to get back on the television. And on top of that, they're still keeping Nifty TV. All the rest of the games that besides they're going to be on television are going to be free.
Nice.
You can't get any better than that. That's a lot of coverage.
And I think they needed to do that because of the low percentage of households that have the NFL Network.
Yeah.
That just made sense to keep that on. The AF2 arena is already wired for that, I believe.
Yeah.
And that the AFL, former AFL teams are wired even better. somebody was saying? Was there wired for HD and whatnot?
Yep.
So it just made, you know, perfect sense for them to keep rolling with that same deal.
Exactly. Now, what we're going to try to do also every week is we have a couple of I'm calling it networking with the fans. As we mentioned before, we do have our Twitter account, our Facebook page, we have message boards and whatnot. We're going to ask just if anybody has any random questions that they want to ask before we do the shows, whether we're going to, you know, whether they're going to be taped or whether if we are able to do a live show this year. We're going to read them over.
With me on the show, that's probably a no.
Yeah.
Again, I am sorry.
That's
no, we'll get on live.
But we're gonna
at least I hope not.
But we're gonna read the questions. We'll read the questions, and hopefully, we'll be able to answer them. But you know, we're not both of us are really in the technically in the know. We hear stuff. We read the internets. We read Wikipedia.
I'm definitely in the know.
Okay. But we're gonna read the questions, and hopefully, gonna be able to answer them. So the first question came to us via our Twitter account. It is from Dallas LDS. His question is, how do you feel the AFTR programs, Tulsa and Spokane, will do with the improved competition in the AFL? JP.
I'm going to say 2-14, both teams. You know, the AF2, the AFL, that's a big step. That's like, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I don't think it's going to matter. In this season, you're looking at 15 expansion teams. Plain and simple. Really. Because, I mean, some of these teams are trying to sign back the guys that they had before.
Iowa is a good example of that.
Right. Was Utah doing the same thing?
Utah, no, not really.
AIFA guys.
One of the alphabet leagues, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the alphabet league. Sneeze and you get it right.
Who do you play for? Achoo! Okay.
Achoo. Oh, that league. Oh, yeah. I don't think it's gonna be anything to them other than, they're gonna get a taste of the big time. I guess.
The crowds that they have in Spokane, that's going to be a monster. I mean, I'd love to have that fan support. I mean, to sell out, and on a minor, technically AF2 was minor league. You can call the AFL 2.0 now whatever you want, but to get continuously and consistently over 10,000 fans per game.
Well, again, it brings me back to my point of the small markets that have little to no competition sports-wise. Spokane, what, they have a minor league baseball team, I think?
Yeah.
And then that's it. I can't think of anything. They don't have an ABA team. They have a NBDL league team.
No.
They could have a lacrosse team for all I know. I don't know.
Right now, the only thing that we can base minor things on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Minor league hockey? I don't know.
I don't, the Spokane Chiefs.
Okay. So they do have some sports competition, but nothing like an LA, a Chicago, a New York, a Dallas, or big places like that. They're going to have that advantage. And I think it's great, you know, to have these small cities with teams. I think it's a good thing. So I think, yeah, they're going to get a taste of the big time, and they're going to do just fine. I'm not going to make any predictions on how they finish. But, yeah, they should be right up there with everybody else.
I don't think it's too early. I really think that you look at the rosters now, that's all they are. Everything is based on what teams are on paper. It depends on how these teams are going to gel. It depends on, many things, you know, even with the influx of the AFL players that are currently coming back to play, it does not necessarily mean that you stack your team, you know, Dallas, that you're going to.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that you're
going. Watch Dallas go 2-14. That'd just be hilarious.
Well, I think there may be some dissension because of the salary cap that we were talking before.
Quote-unquote salary cap.
Yeah, the Vigilados, I don't think are going to be keeping all their current players that they have. I mean, but you also saw a huge, you know, with a huge thing that with Spokane dropping, a huge player being put back onto reassignment.
Mm-hmm.
Which you mentioned it earlier, Red.
My buddy Robert Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, might be coming back to Cleveland. Used to play with Sutton. Perfect fit. If you're listening, come back to Cleveland.
Call me.
Yeah, give us a call. Okay, look it up. We have the Spokane Chiefs, the Western Hockey League.
Yep.
The Spokane Indians of the Northwest League Baseball. The Shock, of course, are in the AFL. And the Spokane Spiders, a soccer team of the Premier Development League.
That's Division III of the U.S.
Oh, okay.
I think, if I remember my soccer leagues correctly.
I didn't know they played soccer here in the U.S. anymore.
Yeah. Supposedly they got this league there that has I think we actually have a team in Canada, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Same league. Who would have thought?
What's that all?
What?
I said, what's that all about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Looks cool,
yeah.
Eh?
Yes, say what you will, eh? Yeah. Second question comes from okay. Our... what? What?
Yeah, I'm saying yes. I'm answering yes already.
Oh, okay. He knows the answers.
No, go ahead with the question.
He knows the answers before I do. He knows the questions before I do. Our second question comes from our Facebook page. It's from Chris Cognac. Love the last name. What does, and this goes to pertain to what Commissioner Kerr said, what does Southern California mean as far as AFL 2011 teams? Now, JP, you touched on that a little bit earlier, and yeah. It could be anywhere, from LA back to San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Well, the deal with California and with my insider information, I was told that the deal with California right now is because this league is a single entity and the players are all paid by the league and they do the workman's comp all by the league. And since they really can't do like a single entity workers' comp because these guys are working in different states, California, with their laws that they have right now, they're working to change these laws as we speak, I guess. It would triple, I believe, their insurance premiums for the workman's comp. And at the time when they were trying to let Fry in with the San Jose team, it was either he didn't want to pony up his portion of it, slash the rest of the owners didn't want to pay more for this one team to triple their premiums. So that's the deal with California right now. I know people are gonna fight me on this and say, oh, blah blah blah. You know, it's not the workman's comp. It is the workman's comp. I've been told by multiple sources it's the workman's comp. It's throwing a wrench in everything because of the single entity thing.
Yeah,
it's expensive.
But it would be nice
to live there.
It would be nice to have, if Wasserman does come back, he was one of the great owners, I felt, too, of the previous AFL, that it would be nice to have him back on the team. And they had some such great fans. I'd love to have them back in the league, too. Oh. San Jose, too. San Jose, too, mind you. But you know,
San Jose has amazing fans. Yeah. Their cowbells and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last question comes from another Chris. Christopher Henson, when is Georgia going to have a new team? Well, I think both of us can answer this one. Currently, from what we've heard, there's nothing on the books, at least as far as I know, within the AFL. I think with it being the current NFL owner, or former NFL owner, Arthur Blank, I just don't see the team. I don't think there is going to be a team in Georgia.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, my opinion, I do not think that there's going to be another team in Georgia.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. It's not obviously going to be the same ownership group.
Right.
I'm trying to look it up right now. I've written a thread on Arena Fan, the expansion page here. Somebody was asking for their opinion. Vision of 2012. And I have the Alabama Vipers moving to Atlanta.
Oh, I did see that. Okay, I did see that.
Oh, man. I made so many people mad with this one. I also had the Battle Wings moving to New Orleans. Moving to New Orleans. And then I got some feedback on people asking, okay, what happened to these teams and why didn't you include these cities? And so then I ended Toronto to the mix. I had Tulsa moving to Kansas City and Oklahoma City moving to Denver.
And Toronto, I think I chimed in on that one and said, are you crazy?
Yes, I am. I also brought Grand Rapids back.
Ooh.
Rampage fans out there. I brought them back. Cause I mean, as much as I poke fun at Grand Rapids, you know, they were a great franchise. They had amazing fans. I mean, there was nothing to do in the city other than go to the games and eat at the TGI Fridays that was like down the street. But aside from that, you know,
if they constantly ate at TGI Fridays, wouldn't that make it TGIE as in thank God it's every day?
Every day. Yeah. For some reason they opened the place up on days other than Friday.
What a concept!
Yeah, me and Tommy are still trying to figure that out.
Wow, it's like Ruby Tuesdays. Why are they opened up on every other day but Tuesday?
If I owned a restaurant chain, I would own 7 different restaurant names, and each one would have a day of the week in it.
Ah,
right? That would be cool.
Just get around. Just call the day of the week restaurant.
The day of the week.
Yeah, day of the week.
No. The name of the restaurant changes for that day of the week.
Oh, nice. So where are you going?
And you think you're calling TGI Fridays? Hi, this is Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a Fridays. On Friday we are.
So where are we going on Friday? TGI. So where are we going on Friday? We're going to Ruby Tuesdays. But I thought you said we're going to TGI Fridays. Well, no, it's not. Friday. It's not Tuesday. It's not Tuesday on Friday.
And the kicker is, it would change at midnight.
Yeah.
At the bar, it would actually change. The neon signs would like flip around and whatnot. Oh my God, we got way off topic here.
Yeah, that's totally off topic. But it's okay. It's okay. It's the first show of the year.
And only 3 people are listening.
We think.
Thanks. Probably not. We're probably giving ourselves too much credit.
Yeah. Well, I'll check the numbers before.
Aren't listening anymore.
Today, I'm hoping everybody comes back to Arena Fan. I know Arena Fan last year was all AF2. I'm hoping there is competition out there now. There are some other sites that have emerged, but I'm hoping everybody does come back to join us here at Arena Fan Nation, because we have brought back everything that the AFL fans and arena football fans want. We've brought back our fantasy football this year. We've even lowered the price on deluxe fantasy football. We brought back regular pick 'em games. We've brought back the regular quick pick fantasy football. It's here.
Which I still don't understand, but it's great that it's back.
What, quick pick?
Quick pick.
It's like you're playing a lottery 1 week with a whole bunch of players and you don't like your number, so you switch it around and maybe you'll win some more. I've actually done better in one of those quick pick leagues than I have done in the deluxe fantasy.
And he's the host of the show, people.
And I'm the host of the show. That's right. I'm the co-host of the show. Yes. But we're trying to ramp up. If you have any questions, please let us know. We're here. I think I got a strange feeling this is going to be a lot like it was in when we first brought the stuff around for season one with fantasy football and whatnot. But if you have any suggestions, let us know. We'll try to implement them. We are the fan site for you, the Arena Football fans. So,
it's in the name.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Actually, here's a little tidbit. Not really a tidbit. I'll just leave it at this. Don't do it, JP. Don't tell us what it is. Just for kickers, everybody. Type in indoorfootballfan.com and see where it comes up. That's all I gotta say.
Wow, Tim, I can buy a .com too and make it go where I want it to go.
Yeah, I know, but it's just the history behind the name itself. And anyways, it's if they can go to it and like, oh wow, this is so great. We're this site again. There have been a lot of players that have come back into the league this year, and I wrote just a couple of them down. And we mentioned it before, it doesn't necessarily mean that the rosters that they're listed on paper are going to mean, they can mean garbage. I think one of the biggest names and signings that came from this past offseason currently is Aaron Garcia getting to Jacksonville. And this is where I think we were questioning the salary cap.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
The John Dutton signing in Cleveland, too.
Yep. Sure. And if I'm not mistaken, then they also signed Ben Nelson.
Yes, they did.
Then you have the Vigilados who signed Larry Bracken, Shane Stafford. I think they just needed a quarterback. It's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens in Iowa. Now, Ryan Vina he's both AFL and he's a huge AF2 veteran.
Oh, funny you should say huge.
Okay.
B, I'm just kidding if you're listening.
Wow.
Me and you, buddies. I'm still waiting for him to come up with a waffle.
With a
waffle? Not a maffle. I'm sorry, the maffle. We're going to do a Mexican Arena Football League.
Mackle.
Funny story behind that, we actually had a maffle ball where we drew an M. And it somehow got into one of our games in 04.
No kidding.
The umpire saw the ball and immediately threw it to the sideline and called for another ball. Oh, it was so funny. So funny. I couldn't stop laughing.
Was that the Spalding balls or was that the Wilson balls?
That 04, I believe, was Spalding.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was Spalding. Hilarious.
Oh, I would pay probably $1,000 to have that ball. It was too funny. Too funny, and it somehow made its way into one of our games. I have no idea how. Must have been running low on balls that week, because it was one of our practice balls that we were screwing around with. We took a Sharpie to it and wrote the M on there. And I think we wrote the slogan. League slogan was, gotta make it fly.
Make it fly.
That was written on the ball too. Yeah, umpire saw it and immediately threw the ball out of the game. That was funny.
Not surprised. there are quite a few names, but anything can happen with these guys on the team. Yeah, the old AFL 2 teams who may want to stay predominantly with the core that they had. Spokane got rid of their coach that they won their championship with.
I was going to say, many of these teams got rid of their coaches, which didn't make any sense to me other than if the coaches were taking a pay cut, like the players were. But I don't know. From my sources, they're telling me that no, the coaches did not take a pay cut.
No.
Coaching salary cap.
No, there's not. But the funny thing, out of all these players that have been signed in the offseason, the one that has gotten the most press, the most complaining, the most bitching, the most scratching heads is Mr. Talon St. Michaels.
I met him once.
Did you? What was he
called? Yeah, I think it was at an airport bar in, what was it? Chicago, I think. Yeah, really cool guy. Cool guy.
Did he let you call him Talon, or did he say, please call me Mr. T?
No, I had to call him Mr. St. Michael.
Oh. So,
you know, a sign of respect. He wouldn't let me call him T.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, this seems...
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a
That's how mysterious this guy is. I mean, he's mysterious.
Supposedly he played on the championship 1999 Albany Firebirds team. Mm-hmm. He seems to be a ghost, we've been told, by... I guess Coach Markham and the way he's quoting his quotes, but they maybe, I don't necessarily think they're taken out of context. It may just be, you know, it may just be a huge PR stunt, which it seems to be with the announcement of the NFL Network contract and this thing with Arena Rocks. Now, supposedly he's going to be at training camp. Supposedly. Played at Navy? Was that what they said?
Yeah, played at Navy. Was born in 76. He's getting up there in age. He's older than me.
And he, there's so many different things tied to him. A lot of military stuff is tied, at least that we've seen, to the name. I'm not on
the. That he was the one that found Saddam.
don't go there.
I don't know. I mean, they might as well just tack that on there, just for, you know.
For all we know, this guy's, he could be legit, supposedly. I think they're saying he's overseas currently. You look at all the pictures, if they are his pictures that are on his website, and maybe this is just what they want us to do. They want us to continue talking about this guy. To go viral with it, I'm surprised they haven't come out with something. You know, his website is just as much of a mystery as he is.
Oh, yeah. I was scratching my head when I typed in the M and hit enter. I was like, okay. Didn't tell me anything.
No. And we've had some, you know, our internet wonders go around that they've checked the Navy rosters. Nobody right. With the same name. I've thought it was an acronym, sorry, an anagram for something.
Anagram.
Yeah.
Well, Ocho Cinco changed his name. You know. You just gotta take all the clues, piece the puzzle together, and hopefully do it before the beginning of the season, and you can figure out who this guy is, if he even exists. Because this could be a huge PR stunt.
Which, what I'm thinking, it probably is. I mean,
hey, they got us talking about it.
It's true.
But they got us talking about it.
And yeah, exactly. Question is, how are they going to portray this person in the print ads, in the banner ads on the net, on if they do television ads? You would think that you would want to do a PR thing with real players. That was one of the issues with the old AFL. They did not promote their players. They promoted their owners. Why would you want to do it with a fake person?
Okay.
I can't say they say it is real.
Well, in the case of the Columbus Destroyers, they promoted their coaches.
Yeah.
A holy OSU bandwagon. I can kind of look back. I can look back on those 2 years that I spent in Columbus and laugh.
You look back at it fondly or with a little bit of bitterness?
Oh, I still had fun. But you gotta laugh at what they did. I mean, they totally rode the Buckeye bandwagon. And it worked, too.
They drew
16 sellouts. You can't beat that. For a team that only won, what was it, 9 games in those 2 seasons?
Yeah.
You know, and then the fans wised up that 3rd season. And, yeah, needless to say, that they did not have the same fan base.
Well, you know, at least they had a full 100-yard field compared to Austin.
Yeah, 50-yard.
Yeah, 50-yard. 110 yeah. No, it's wrong, Leo.
Toronto might have had 100, you know, if they were up there in Canada.
Well, meters.
Oh, was it meters?
I don't know. we still go by yards, as far as I know.
What I would love is that this T. St. Michael's guy turns out to be their mascot. That would be hilarious. You know, they do all this promotion, and it winds up being the new name of the mascot.
Well, the question is, when the Storm open up training camp, are everybody going to be, well, where's this mysterious Talon St. Michaels? How long will the fans and the media put up with this? Or, as I said, are they all tied back to Arena Rocks? You know, and the NFL Network promotion. If any of the commercials come out, we'll know right away. I just don't hope that they go with if they do anything, it's short term. Let's get concentrating on the league itself. You know, can't be as bad as what NBC. Remember what NBC did when they first came out? It was NBC coming to NBC in February, season 17. I'm like, what?
I gotta love the classic Elway Bon Jovi commercials that NBC did.
It helped. I thought they were pretty cool.
An episode of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
On NBC. I mean, well, their hearts were in the right place, but we know where their heads were.
But that's all in the past now. It's all in the past. We're working towards the present, looking towards the future, above and beyond. It's Buzz Lightyear. No, is that Buzz Lightyear? I know, that's to infinity and beyond.
And beyond. Which was, I think the spending limit for, Baker. That was his slogan.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what, folks? That's what you're gonna get this entire season here on AFL Tonight.
Oh yeah. I'm not afraid to say it, cause I've already said it before. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. But no, this season, I mean, I'm loving it. We're back to April arena football. When was the last time we started in April?
Pre-NBC.
Duh. I'm looking for a number.
A couple of years ago.
It was a few years ago.
I think it was at OC.
I mean, NBC really came and railroaded the league by switching us over to piggyback the NFL season.
Let's see if I can hear it. Is NBC ratings
historical?
2003.
7 years ago. Or no, more than 7 years ago. It was 2002 was the last year that they had.
Yeah.
Beginning in April.
Yep, it was, 2002, pre-Peacock.
Yep. That was back in the TNN days.
Yes, yes, and
Eli Gold.
Yes,
Eli was
the
man.
If they brought
Frank back.
Yes. You know what? It's funny you say that. I don't remember how long ago I heard this. Maybe it was just one of those internet things. But I could swear that they said that they're going to be bringing somebody back with AFL experience. Eli would be able to do it.
It's John, I'm done with the league.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be because I think Eli Gold, if it is Eli, it will bring them. I think that's perfect. I think it's perfect.
Eli was the best. He was great.
And he knew what he was talking about.
Oh, he sure as hell did. Yeah.
He
did his homework and then some. He definitely knew what he was talking about. That's what I thought made TNN work. Because if TNN didn't have Eli Gold, and I'll say, and the rest of his guys, because the rest of his guys were up to snuff too. But if they didn't have that crack team, it would have been horrible, I think. I mean, TNN, everybody's like, TNN? seriously? You guys are broadcast on TNN?
Actually, do a search on YouTube for if you want to see a little bit of TNN. The Kurt Warner ceremony. Just do a search for Kurt Warner retirement ceremony, I think, and it'll pop up the actual broadcast that was done for the during the game. Who was it? It was Iowa and Tampa, and they retired Kurt Warner's jersey. And it's the old...
All you have to do is put in Arena Football TNN, and it's the first one that pops up.
Nice.
Big old 13 with the wings heading up to the rafters.
So you know what's funny? Supposedly, based on the Twitter account for the Iowa Barnstormers, they don't know where the jersey is.
Uh-oh.
They don't know where the retired jersey is. Now, my thought would be, could it be in storage at Veterans? Could it have been sold with to the New York Dragons?
Wang's got it. He kept it.
I don't.
It's in his office.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. As shrewd a businessman as he was, I could see him doing that. Hanging on to it. Waiting for Kurt Warner to go into the NFL Hall of Fame. And then be like, oh, look what I have.
I would have thought, if anything, that if anybody would have gotten it, it would have been Jim Foster.
Yeah. What happened to the Arena Football Hall of Fame there in Des Moines?
I thought it was still in your basement.
Oh, that's a sideline. Arena
football. Oh, yes. Actually, I do know, so a friend of mine recently went to the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. Guess what was still there?
The exhibit, yes. It's still, amazingly, it's still there. I'm surprised they haven't scrapped it yet.
Yeah. But the traveling road show, traveling sideshow, whatever it was, I don't know. I think that was, I think that went the way of the Dodo Bird. Along with the
actual place in a strip mall in Des Moines. I didn't know it was a roadshow.
I thought it used to move from city to city, and I think it went the way of the Dodo along with the Hall of Fame game.
That was played once.
The last 2 years, I think that Iowa existed. Yeah, originally in the AFL, I think.
Did they actually have two games? It was
a couple. Well, remember, every year at the Hall of Fame game, they would announce the new inductees to the Hall of Fame. And there's not been an inductee into the Hall of Fame, AFL Hall of Fame, in years. They just did it for the AF2 in their last season. So, well, I don't know. What we're going to try to do is, JP and I are going to try to come back to you each week. Probably we'll do our taping the same night every week. Just a matter of getting it up to the site. As I mentioned before, any details on a live show we will announce prior to us doing it. It won't be a spur-of-the-moment type of thing, because then, of course, we will be listening to ourselves.
Yay!
But other than that, we will, as I said, we'll try to come back to you every week, talk about the league as it currently is running. Hopefully we can get some more insider information. Hey, maybe get some calls here, because we are doing it via Skype. Or have some, get more questions or whatnot. But we hope to have each and every one of you back. And I would say if we don't have a show before the beginning of the season, I'm going to try to promote a Wear Your Arena Football League jersey to work day on the first day of the season. What do you think?
Sounds good to me. I can't, because I have to wear scrubs, but...
Oh, that's right.
I'll wear it under my scrubs.
There you go.
That works.
I will wear my vintage Iowa Barnstormers jersey that had the wings, my Karacek. The year that he won the AFL Offensive Player of the Year.
Nice.
I love that jersey. I love that jersey.
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of you not in that jersey.
That's true. Well, I tried to wear it to Arena Bowl. Whenever I went. I mean, I could wear my Toronto Phantoms jersey that I have, but I think this one's more iconic.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. But now I think the Phantoms one is getting up there.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the league in quite a while now. I mean, obviously it's not going to be the same as a Barnstormer shirt.
That's right. But you know, to each his own. Because
the one season of the Phantoms jerseys, the road jerseys all went to each player. I know this because I worked with the equipment manager of the Phantoms in year...
It's either year one or year two.
That's in year two. So all the road jerseys went to the players. He actually personally delivered each jersey to each player, either, you know, whether it be they showed up to a game or they were playing in a game that we were playing against. And yeah, so each of those players got their road jersey. So if you had a road jersey, that's something to hang on to.
Yeah. True.
Home jerseys, I have no idea what happened to them. I see them scattered on the internet.
Well, they had an auction, and that's how I won mine.
Player probably sold it.
The team was actually doing it. It was through the team itself, and they were all signed by the player itself. So I have Charlie Davidson's number one jersey here in my closet.
Year one or year two?
I think they did that in year. I wouldn't be surprised if it was year two or after year one. A year one auction. I'm not sure. I don't think it was after year two, because after year two, they basically shut down.
Right.
So I would probably say year one.
Okay, so they probably had two sets of jerseys then. They did buy their players' division championship rings, which the equipment manager that I was talking about earlier has a division championship ring.
Very cool.
I think it's very cool. Very cool. So I could see them buying new jerseys each season, even though that technically was not the norm in the football league.
Nice.
Let's see. Buffalo used their jerseys all 5 years. They win Buffalo. Columbus, I think, only got new jerseys when the Nike deal came in.
Yeah.
And they were forced to get new jerseys. And then other teams did their thing.
It's funny, we have so much more of that to talk about and whatnot over the next couple of weeks. So what I think what I'm going to do is first I'm going to say, JP, not only thank you for being joining me this season, I also want to welcome you again to joining us here at the AFL Tonight family. You are an Arena Fan Nation member, as all of us are, and, you know, thanks for joining us. I think it'll help the show. I don't have to talk to myself all the time now.
But you'll probably still do it anyway.
Well, yeah. I'll just hear the voices in my head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just don't answer them out loud.
No, not out loud. No.
Thanks for having me on the show. I have listened to your show in the past and stuff, and always sat there and go, man, you know, I could probably be on one of these shows, or I can do one of these shows. And then now that I've done one, I was completely wrong. I'm definitely a wingman, definitely a color commentator type guy.
You'll get into the flow of things.
I'm the Dan Fouts of the Arena Football League.
The Dan Fouts.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that the team today that scores the most points is going to win this game. Yeah.
No, what? I believe that's a hell of a concept.
I believe that in my heart to be true.
Yeah.
Again, everybody, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You better stop that one. I think you need to come up with another catchphrase.
No, I think I'm going to be saying I'm sorry for the whole season.
As long as you mean it.
I'm going to be making somebody mad. I know that.
Well, we'll take that as it comes.
Yeah. You take the lumps week by week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And luckily, I don't think we had any lumps this week. I'll let you know if we get any cease and desists.
My cell phone hasn't blown up yet, but I haven't checked my Facebook yet, so I don't know. I haven't checked my Arena Fan page yet either, so.
So again, just to remind you guys that there are a couple ways to contact us. Twitter.com/ArenaFan, Facebook.com/ArenaFan. We'll speak to you guys very soon. JP, again, thanks for joining me. And as usual, make sure you watch the rebounds off the net. Have a good day.